We're continuing to study in the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel. We are ready to begin at the 48th verse of this chapter, so we only like about four verses finishing the chapter. This chapter, as we said before, is a song of thanksgiving given by David as he thinks about all the things that God has done for him in his life in the way of rescuing him from his enemies, in the way of protecting and guarding and saving him. It is also a psalm found as the 18th psalm, and is one of the most beautiful, most sublime, and figurative writings in all the Bible. It is one that we can take today and apply to our lives because we find ourselves in very similar positions of distress that David was in, surrounded by enemies, floods of ungodly persons, surrounded by death, engulfed or almost engulfed by death on every side. These are the figures that David used to describe his distress, to describe his problems, and then he shows how that God brought him out of those. In this psalm, he talks about God being his rock, his fortress, and his deliverer. That is, there is none other like God who can give a shelter, who can give refuge, who can give protection like this God can. And then David further says, "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Showing that the great example for how to get out of our problems is to call upon the Lord. We use the Lord as our Savior. We use the Lord as our rescuer. He is the one to whom we can flee for refuge, and He is the one who will give us the victory in times of our conflicts with the world. So I will call upon the Lord, David says. And regardless of what his problems are, the waves of death, the floods of ungodly men, he says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord," in verse 7, "and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." So in the time of distress, the thing to do is to turn to God, to pray to God, and he will hear. He hears from his temple, that is from his abode, and he hears in his ears. That is, it goes directly to God. He knows what our message is. And then when God comes to assist and to aid David, he gives some very descriptive terms that are figurative, of course, of how that it changed the whole world when God comes to his aid. Then, verse 8, "The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils and a fire out of his mouth, devoured, and coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." So here's God coming to David's rescue. He is wroth. There's fire coming out of his mouth, and everything that this touches turns it to coals, sets other things on fire. Verse 11 says, "He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind." So God comes and he changes everything. He says, "The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice." So his voice sounded like thunder. And then verse 16 says, "And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of his nostrils." So he could see the very channels of the sea. The seas were parted by this great commotion caused by God's coming. The very foundation of the earth were exposed. And he comes in to rescue David. "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters." And so we see then the very vast imagery that David uses here. And the fact that he doesn't name any specific event in his life is all the more applicable to us, because then we can take these figures and we can take these problems that David describes here and apply them to ourselves, because we all have problems of very similar magnitude. We all have needs very much like David's needs, and we all have the same God that David had. We can appeal to this same God. We can expect him to give us the same deliverance, the same victory, the same salvation that David was given from his foes and his problems. So then this is a very applicable poem to us. It is a song that we today can sing with all the feeling and all the understanding that David used, because we are in very similar positions to David and we're serving the same God that David did. And since this psalm is given by miraculous inspiration, then we know that these are terms that God expects us to use. These are terms that God understands and wants, because these are the things he put into David's mouth to give as praise to him. And it's for our benefit, it's for our use. So let's not neglect this 22nd chapter of Samuel, just as we shouldn't neglect the 18th psalm, which is its counterpart in the book of Psalms. It's valuable to us. It is something that's not just some kind of dead poetry, something that was given in the past with no meaning and no value, but it's something very useful for us today as we live the Christian life and encounter very similar problems to those problems that David had. So as we move into this 48th verse, we see that David is here giving a general expression of thanksgiving to God as the author of all these blessings and one who is worthy of universal confidence and praise. So he says in verse 48, "It is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me." So he shows that it is God who brings these deliverances about, who brings this salvation about. And one of the ways that God does this is that God avengeth me. That is, God takes vengeance upon his enemies. God brings about a punishment to the enemies of David. And we know this is true. Anyone who opposes a child of God, anyone who does wrong to a child of God, is going to have to pay for that. And God is the one who takes the vengeance. He says, "Vengeance is mine." That's not our place to get the vengeance. It's not our place to repay wicked for wicked. God does this. God will repay. And so although it seems that many times these persons go unpunished, their sins go unnoticed, their crimes against God's children are not heeded, nevertheless, this is not true. God does get vengeance upon them. One way or another, they will have to pay for their crimes, for their deeds done against the people of God. So this is one of the ways in that David gets deliverance, is by the fact that God gets vengeance. It is God that avengeth me. And if we can all say this and truly have this philosophy and this feeling in our hearts that although I've been wronged, it's not my place to get vengeance. It's not my place to see that the person is punished. God does that. That is God's job. That's God's duty. And he will do it. He's promised to do it. And as David says here, it is God that avengeth me. So if we can say this, we do not have to let the worldly feelings of anger and jealousy and strife overcome us. We do not have to succumb to the ordinary actions of man in retaliation to others. For simply, we say that God avengeth me. God takes care of all this. I don't have to worry about punishing someone. I don't have to worry about seeing that justice is done so far as anything that's done against me. God takes care of this. It's God that avengeth me. Now, of course, God has many tools that he works with. He may work with the law of the land. He may work with some kind of disease. He may work with some kind of mental distress. There are many, many ways that God can bring about vengeance. And let's just realize, though, that when it does happen, that it's God who's doing it. Then he further says in verse 48, "And that bringeth down the people under me." So not only does God get vengeance to save David from his problems, but he bringeth down the people that are under him. This would be when David's in a conflict with these persons. He causes then these people to be inferior to David, so that David is able to win out. David is able to be supreme. And this is another way that David is delivered, by being superior to his enemies. So he brings down the people under me. Verse 49, "And that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." So God is the one who is instrumental in David's having success. When he is in a position where he has to encounter his enemies, then God is the one that bringeth him forth from his enemies. He has lifted me up on high, David says, above them that rose up against me. So that David comes out victorious. David is superior to those that have challenged and that have threatened his life and his security. Now we today are in a very similar position to David, only on a spiritual level. We have many battles that we have to fight. We are soldiers. We are in a warfare. Whether we realize it or not, we are in an active warfare today as we walk the Christian life. And the weapons of our warfare, though, are not exactly the same as those of David's. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not going around with a sword and physically defending ourselves in that way, but we are using the weapons that God has given us, these mighty weapons through God, such things as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We use these things then against our enemies today. And whenever they attack us, whenever they put us into a position where there must be a confrontation, then God gives us the victory. He brings us forth from our enemies, and He has lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me, as David says. We come out victorious. The Word of God stands us in good stead. We are able to meet the attacks of the wicked ones. We are able to be delivered from the threats that they would put upon us. It is God that brings this about. And then he says in the last phrase of verse 49, "Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." Now this would be a man that is characterized by wickedness and by violence. And it doesn't matter who this man is, but it's any person that meets these characteristics. The violent man is a dangerous man. It is a man that can do harm, that can inflict injury. And so God then has delivered us. In this particular case, David's talking about himself, has delivered me from the violent man. Now some say this is certainly talking about Saul. Saul was a violent man. Saul did make many attacks and attempts upon David's life. He personally threw the javelin at him twice and was certainly trying to kill him when he did this. But we have to think that this could apply and does apply to any situation in which David was confronted by a violent man. Not just limited to Saul, but it could be several occasions. Not only was he given many threats and put into dangerous positions by Saul, but there were others like Absalom, his own son, and Sheba, who rose up in rebellion against him, and Ishbosheth, who reigned for 7.5 years trying to compete with David for the kingdom. These could also be considered as violent men, as men that were characterized by wickedness, and David was delivered from them. And let's remember that each time that these one of these men were opposing David, it was a very real threat. David was perplexed as to what to do. It wasn't an easy thing at all. In the case of Ishbosheth, he reigned for 7.5 years, and David was reigning at Hebron, and had dual kings in the kingdom, and it was quite a threat to David. In the case of Absalom, David had to flee the capital. He ran out of the city of Jerusalem and went over across the River Jordan into the very border of the tribe of Gad, and he was very perplexed as to what to do. But the point is that in each one of these cases, the threat was very real. David was under tremendous amounts of stress and maybe even fear, but God delivered him out of it. "Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." And so it is in our lifetime. The thing that is such a very great threat to us today, the thing that we seem to be under such a tremendous anxiety about, maybe 6 months or 2 or 3 years from now, it'll be no threat at all to us. But right now it's very real. Right now it's very pressing. Right now it's very threatening to us. But yet God will deliver us out of it. God will give us the victory. God will give us the salvation from it. And then there will be another foe, another problem come up later down the line, and we repeat the process all over again. We again turn to God. We again put our trust in Him, and then He hears and gives us the deliverance. This is a wonderful relationship that we have with God. It is a wonderful plan that God has for us. It's one that we can take and apply to any situation, any problem, any type of stress that we may be under. We can always turn to God, and God is there to hear and to give us the deliverance. So this is a most valuable poem for us, a most valuable passage of Scripture for us to take and to use and to apply in our everyday lives. Now we know that David's problems were very pressing. They're very great, very grave problems. But as we go through this life in this modern time, we see that our problems for each one of us as individuals are just as every bit as pressing as David's were. Our enemies can consume us. Our enemies can cause us to fall and to falter. Our enemies can cause us to be weak. They can cause us to lose our faith if we would just let them. But what we must do then is to continually depend upon God, continually pray to God, continually use God for the thing He wants to be used for. He wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our salvation. He wants to be our strength, our refuge. And it's up to us then to use Him, to trust in Him, and to allow Him to perform this important function for us. Our needs are so great. Sometimes it seems our backs are against the wall. It seems that there's just no way out. We cannot imagine how we can be extricated from our difficulties. But God has a way. God will do it. But we must depend upon Him. We must trust Him. And we must serve Him. These are the things that are so very, very important. Let's not forget that David said that the Lord rewarded me in verse 21, according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before Him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness, in His eyesight. So, this mercy that God gives, this rescue that God gives, is according to our righteousness, according to the cleanness of our hands. So we must then serve God in order for this to be effective, in order for this plan to be invoked upon our behalf. It depends upon our being faithful to God. We must keep His statutes. We must follow His judgments. And that's precisely what David is teaching here. Verse 50, therefore I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto Thy name. Now here we have in this verse the reason for this psalm. David is writing this psalm so that the heathen will know that God is to be given the credit for all these deliverances. That God is the one who must be acknowledged as the one being responsible for David's success. And so he says, I will give thanks unto Thee. And this word for giving thanks means properly to acknowledge God. I will acknowledge unto Thee. I will give Thee the glory, the praise, the honor, the credit for having done these things. I do not take any credit for myself. I do not say that it was just mere chance that these things happened. It happened as a result of the positive, direct action of God. I will acknowledge Thee, or I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, that is, among the nations. I will do this in such a way that those who do not know about You can have a means to know that You've done this. It's not going to be given in secret or in a corner, but it's going to be done openly so that the world will know that You have blessed me. And the way that he's done this, of course, is to write this psalm. It's inserted here in the book of 2 Samuel, but it's also in the book of Psalms as the 18th psalm, so that it is available for all the world. And of course, since the time David wrote this, there have been untold thousands of unborn believers who have come to know this psalm, and have come to know David's successes as a result of having studied and used this psalm themselves. And consequently, then they know more about God. They know how God behaves. They know what God's intentions are for those who love Him. And so it has served this very, very great purpose then of acknowledging God among the heathen. And David says, I will sing praises unto Thy name. Every time this psalm is sung, every time this psalm is used or quoted, it gives praise to God. And so it's intended then as a vehicle for us to use. It's for our purpose today that we also should use this psalm the very same way that David did. We find that the Apostle Paul acknowledges this fact in Romans 15, verse 9. He quotes from this psalm. He says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to Thee among the Gentiles and sing unto Thy name. He's quoting from this very verse. And this word, give thanks, really means to confess or to profess or to acknowledge. And so then it's intended that this psalm be used by all, by the Gentiles, by those who have no way of knowing about God in other ways. It's a part of the message. It's a part of the book of God, a part of the Word of God that is to give us light so that we can acknowledge God as the true benefactor of His people. Now, verse 51, the last verse of the chapter, He is the tower of salvation for His king. Here David is again figuratively describing God as the influence the power that has given him salvation, the tower of salvation for his king. He saved David the king. Whatever successes this king had, it was a result of what God had done. And he showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Now, all the mercies that he showed unto David, unto his anointed, are simply figurative mercies, and they are foretelling events as to what's going to happen to the seed of David. We are the seed of David. Just as Christ is the offspring of David and is descended through him by genealogy, then we who are members of the body of Christ are the seed of David. And so this is actually a prophecy saying that God is going to show these mercies to us forevermore. There will never be a time in this life in which God does not show mercy to us just like he did to David. So it's a prophecy about the offspring of David and consequently the offspring of Christ. We are the spiritual offspring of Christ. And so this promise that he showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore, applies to us. It is the way that this psalm has of giving us hope and encouragement and assurance that we can have the very same successes, the very same benefits that David had from the very same God. So this psalm has a built-in assurance for us. It seems as though it is pleading to us to realize that these benefits belong to us. We can also take part of them. We can also have the advantage of them if we will but use it, if we will but be the servants of God. We're going to close at that point. This concludes the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, a very great chapter. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.